Good morning, everyone. This is Jack Raymond, online pastor. And as you just saw in the video, we are a Jesus church. We love Jesus. We worship Jesus here. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you. And so we're still celebrating, worshiping, thanking Jesus for hundreds of decisions for Christ at Easter, for so many baptisms. And today is a really special Sunday. We have our kids, our next generation in the choir loft today. It's going to be a powerful morning of worship. I want to encourage you to text a friend, text a family member and say, hey, come join me right now. Worship Jesus together at Prestonwood.live. Well, again, we want you to know that we want to personally greet you. We have a team online on every platform that just wants to say, hey, so let us know where you're joining from today. Let us know how we can pray for you as a church. And go ahead and grab your Bibles as we're starting a new series today. Pastor Graham is kicking us off on the way home. Genesis chapter 2, Matthew 19. It's going to be a powerful message on biblical marriage. So let's go. Let's worship Jesus.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason. our praises, our amens, our hallelujahs. Sing this together. I raise
a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. these Prestonwood kids up here. Man, it is so good. You guys are the greatest. If we just had half the enthusiasm that they had this morning, we'd be in good shape. And you know what? If that doesn't make you smile, you probably need heart surgery. I'm just saying, because that brings a huge smile, including seeing some of our own grandchildren up there praising God and your children as well. And just, you know, if you have your children and perhaps your grandchildren involved at Prestonwood, our children's ministry, our kids' choir, just engaged in all the things, God bless you for that. And God's going to reward your family for that. We're in a message series beginning today. Go ahead and take a seat. I didn't have you shake hands, but you can shake hands later. Go ahead. You say, well, thank you for that. Well, you know, coming off of Easter, it was such an incredible 8 days from Palm Sunday to Easter. And we saw, of course, thousands of people come to the services and all campuses, including Language Espanol, and just an amazing weekend. And, you know, I probably forget from year to year just how great each one truly has been. But, you know, I really believe there was something extra about this year's Easter services, and certainly it was the worship, the music, and of course the message of the resurrection, just the excitement, the Easter excitement of people. And now we bring that with us, and we're so grateful moving forward that it's Easter every day for the Christian, because Christ lives in us. One of the things that happened over Easter weekend or Easter week was on Palm Sunday night. Over the past, well, really decades, I've been praying and waiting on God to create, to build an outdoor amphitheater on Prestonwood Pond so that we could worship and pray and be together for special events, a place of meditation and concentration. And so there it is, your brand new amphitheater. That's a drone shot. I'll walk you over it. Yeah, kids, you know, I want to see a lot of students at the amphitheater. It's acoustical worship. We want it to be a quiet place, a place where you can go with smaller groups, or it seats up to 350, 400 people. You could put 500 people standing around. And we covered up. You can see there's a prayer garden there, and that overlooks the cross. And that little gazebo there was the first construction on campus, and that was a place of prayer. But we opened it with a prayer of dedication, and it was an amazing Palm Sunday evening. So I introduce it to you today. Weddings, if you want to schedule a wedding at the outdoor amphitheater. Now look at this prayer garden, because there's a prayer walk here with scriptures where you can stop and meditate upon God's word, that you can pray for family members and friends. I want you to use it. And be a part, and you, if it's just you, it's open, it's not locked up, it's wide open. There's a great oversight of it all. We want Prestonwood Christian Academy students there, and they will be. It's adjacent, of course, to PCA. You can see PCA buildings there. But thank you to the Robert and Brigitte Smith and Steve and Janice Smith family. They gave this in honor and in memory of their prayer warrior mother, Glenda Smith. And we're grateful for the generosity of this family that made this possible at the right time, at the right place on our beautiful campus. Don't you think this is a great addition to Prestonwood? You know, Jesus, think about this. Jesus spent most of his time preaching outdoors. I love preaching outdoors. My first preaching was on the streets of Fort Worth, Texas. Yes, I was a street preacher at one time. And I love just preaching outdoors. And we'll have an opportunity to preach, to teach, but to pray. We want this to be a place dedicated to praise and to prayer. Thank you for all of our guests who are with us today for coming online, as well as those of you in the room. You can connect with us, and that's the word to connect. It's 74788. We'd love to get to know you better, and so you can connect. There's information there. You can opt out at any time, but we hope you'll stay with us, not only online, but that you will come and be a part of Prestonwood Church. Some of you have already been considering this. At the close of this service, I'm going to be giving an invitation, as we always do, to invite people to come to faith in Christ and to the fellowship of the church. You know, there are three things that we're really about at Prestonwood, top and foremost. One is, of course, faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing people to faith in the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus to renew our faith. And this is what revival is, renewed faith. And then, not only faith, but redemptive freedom. We want to see people set free from the powers of sin and Satan in their lives. We want to see people set free from addictions and disease and all kinds of things that hold people back. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So we preach freedom in Christ. And then there's the fellowship of friends that are forever together in Christ. And we want you to know this faith in Christ, this freedom that we know in Him, and the fellowship of His church. So when I give the invitation here in just a few moments after the first message on marriage and the family, I hope that you will already be prepared to come forward upstairs and downstairs and online and make your commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Ushers, if you will now take your places, we're going to receive the morning offering. We appreciate so very much the faithful giving of God's people. Just to give you a little heads up, we're now past the first quarter of 2024, and I can tell you happily, thankfully, that our giving is 20% above the same period last year. So we're growing in generosity and our giving. And so all I would say is, your pastor and friend, let's keep it up. Let's keep going. As we're faithful with our tithes and offerings, there will always be enough to do the things that we need to do to accomplish the great commission of Jesus, which is what? To make disciples of all the nations and of our neighbors, starting with our own neighbors. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful church and your people who give so faithfully and steadfastly in the work of this wonderful church. We thank you that we can hear the praises of children today and of families worshiping together. Thank you for our children and our grandchildren that are growing up to know and love you, in big part because of the ministry of this great church and our wonderful school, Prestonwood Christian Academy, as well. We thank you that you've given us so many opportunities to witness to our neighbors and our friends, and we pray that we would be Spirit-filled witnesses to people all around us. And Lord, that we would give so that even people we will never meet this side of heaven will know you as we invest in the work of missions and the ministry of Christ. So Lord, may we always be thankful and grateful and give joyfully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Church family, as we continue to worship and as you give, it's our joy to celebrate with these four that have come into the waters of baptism today. This is Wesley Douglas. Wesley, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's go.
This is Jake Turner. Jake's been coming on Thursday nights to our young adult service, The Gathering. He was just at the amphitheater the other night. Jake has trusted Jesus, and he's here to be baptized today. Jake, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I bless you, brother. And this is Liza Heineman. Stand right here. Liza. Liza, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then this is Chris Conrad. Chris has been listening to our pastor preaching on the radio and TV for years and years. He's coming today to stand in his testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus. So, Chris, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen. It's so good. Like our pastor said, we're so grateful to be joined today by our kids' worship team. And we would love for you to come back on April 26th. They're preparing hard right now for a musical that they're going to be doing that night. And this next song that we're going to be doing is about, just like our pastor said, the redemptive qualities of Christ and how we are constantly being made new in Him. We hope you're blessed by it.
Bye. done before in greater measure. You will do again. There's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible.
Awaken our hearts this morning, God. We sing, Lord, come.
Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out.
Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Well, to see these children representing our families up here today is an incredible thing as we began a marriage and family series. And if we're talking about marriage and family, which we're going to be doing from now until Father's Day, Mother's Day thrown in there, of course, at the heart of it. But over these next, I don't know how many weeks that is, 8+ weeks or so, 10 weeks, we're going to be focusing on the family and building our families God's way. The Way Home is the title of this series. And just looking at our children singing this morning and other children scattered throughout the room, and of course in our children's ministry today, Prestonwood Christian Academy, we see them every day. It also reminds me to remind you to be in prayer and to consider participating in our Chosen Conference, which is coming up next Saturday. The reason that we're doing this is to put a focus upon a great need in our country, in our community, in our state. There are over 400,000 children who need placement in homes, foster care, or adoption across America, and over 30,000 right here in the state of Texas. Many of you in this room were adopted by parents who chose you, and you grew up in a home where you were loved and cherished and cared for. And there are many others, and some of you have chosen to adopt, of course, already, or to foster children. It's something we've been doing as a church for a while now with our foster care ministry, but we are elevating this opportunity and responsibility. You say, well, that's kind of a niche thing. It's really not something that I'm all that focused on in my life. Well, come to the conference and see how you can be involved, because there's not a member of our church who could not participate in this program and ministry in some way, even as a prayer warrior, especially as a prayer warrior. So that's coming up. We have outstanding speakers and small groups that will be highlighting how we can get involved. The governor of the great state of Texas, Greg Abbott, is going to be here with us as well, because he knows that it is a great need in the state of Texas. So foster care, adoption, such a wonderful thing. In our own family, our extended family, we have wonderful members of our family who God brought to us through adoption. And we're grateful for them and now their families following. So thank you for praying about that. Thank you for making it a part of your life as we get ready to take another step forward in this important work. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going all the way back to the beginning of the Bible to lay some foundations for the family, your family and mine. Now, at the outset, I want to say, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a 100% chance that you can have a great marriage. We hear all the data, and I could stream the data this morning of the brokenness of the homes and families, and there's a lot of it. And there are reasons for it, of course. And we'll identify some of the reasons for this brokenness along the way. But at the start, I want to say to you, don't give up on your home and your family. Don't give up on your marriage. And even if you have a good marriage right now, my prayer for you is that you will move from good to great. Amen. That it won't be just living together or staying together. It's important to stay together. But not just staying together, but growing together. When Deb and I got married, May 22nd, 1970, that was 54 years ago coming up, we didn't have a clue as to what marriage would require of us. We knew that we knew the Lord, and that we wanted to serve Him, and we wanted to serve Him together. And God has helped us as a couple to grow together. And your marriage, as well as mine, can be filled with love, a love that doesn't just linger, but lasts a lifetime, a devotion that is not only love at first sight. You know what that feels like, if you can remember, that love at first sight. I think I really truly loved Deb at first sight. If it wasn't, it was a second look shortly thereafter. I loved her at first sight, but as the saying goes, it's not love at first sight that really makes marriage last, love last. It's when you've been looking at each other all these years. You say, well, you know, my wife, she doesn't look like she used to. Well, have you looked into the mirror lately, sir? So, no, we don't look like we may have looked in at first sight, but it's last sight that I care about the most, right? It's after all the years and coming to the end of the days of our lives that we can look at one another and love one another more than ever. And when a family is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ is at the center of your hearts and your home, then yes, His love poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit will last a lifetime. Because you see, it's not what you know. There's so much information now about marriage and home and the family, and I'm grateful for most of it, especially some great Christian materials and counseling and authors and help and conferences. And we do this kind of thing at Prestonwood. We believe in getting people in the know as to how to have a great marriage, how to be a great parent, and all those things. But I was thinking the other day, we are in a generation, we know now more than any previous generation about marriage, about how to have a great marriage, how to get through conflict, all the things, communication, children, parenting. There is more information now than ever. And yet, even in the church, capital C, the church at large, divorce data is particularly the same as it's always been, or worse. So with all this information, why aren't we getting it? Even this message series. You know, my goal is I'm going to give you a lot of information, biblical truth. But what I want you to hear is not from me, but I want you to hear from God. And that you would open your hearts right now at the outset and pray each day throughout this series that God would renew your heart and your home and your family and your marriage. Because ultimately, it's not about information. It is about not what you know. It's who you know. And when you know Jesus Christ, I mean really know Him, that you have an intimacy with God in Christ, that you know Him, when you know, you will grow in your knowledge and in your wisdom as to how to have a great marriage and a great family. Now, let's lay the foundation. Marriage and family is a divine design. And here's why I say that. A lot of people don't understand it. They don't get that part. The great American eclipse is coming up. Have you heard about it? Oh my goodness. Well, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen April 8th, tomorrow. A total solar eclipse between 2 and 4, and apparently the spot to be is right here in good old Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. It's going to be a natural wonder. It happens rarely, of course, a total eclipse in this manner. There's a parable in it, in that Jesus is the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus. And then He said, you are the light of the world. How are we the light of the world if Jesus is the light of the world? Well, we're like the moon that reflects the light of what? The sun. So Jesus is the sun, like the sun that shines in the heavens. And we are like the moon that reflects the light of the sun. But when the moon and the shadow of the moon covers the sun, what you have then is what we're going to have tomorrow, is a total eclipse. Now, maybe you've seen a partial eclipse, but this will be a total eclipse. And it occurs to me that if I am the light of the world and reflecting the light of Christ, I don't want my life, nor do you want your life, to be a shadow over the Son of God. Let's don't allow over the world, because often people don't see the sun because we're a total eclipse and we're hiding what the world needs to see. So that's a whole other sermon. I should have just preached it last week. I don't know. No, that was Easter. But here's the thing. All around us, every day, I mean, this is special, this is unique, and Everyone is going to come out to see it. Not everyone. I heard someone said, I'm going to get in a dark room just to protest the whole thing. But I think that was George Costanza who maybe said that. But at any rate, so many people are going to watch it because it's so unique and it's so rare. Don't burn your eyes. But if the sun only came out once a year or the stars only came out once every 10 years, we'd all stay up all night to watch the stars come out. But I'm saying that there are wonders of creation that are all around us. And more especially related to this marriage message, God is a God of design and order. And the same God who spoke the worlds into existence, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the universe, the same God who did all of that, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, how great thou art. When we consider this, the majesty and the grandeur of God, we also see that God created the man and the woman and placed them in the garden on the planet Earth. And it is all by divine design. All of it is by his order. And the biblical worldview of life is not evolution. It is, in fact, devolution. We're not getting progressively better. We're getting progressively worse, as the Bible tells us. Our worldview is not evolution. It is creation and the God who is the creator. And that, of course, includes marriage and men and women who are created by divine design. Marriage did not ooze out of the primordial swamp in some way. No, marriage exists because God exists and because God made us in his own image. And though that image is defaced and destroyed by sin, it can be restored by Jesus Christ. And you can become a new creation by putting your faith and trust in him. Verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2 puts it this way. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Now scroll down to verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good, after all the good that God had created, at each interval of creation, day after day, God looked at it and said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then he created the man, Adam, placed him in the garden, and he saw that Adam was alone. And he said, not good. Not good. And so what did God do? He said, I will make a helper fit for him. Not as his competitor, but as his completer. Verse 21, so that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed it up, its place with flesh. Divine surgery takes place. I heard an old story about Adam and Eve in the garden after Adam was gone for several days. He was out hunting or he disappeared for several days. Eve was jealous and she thought he was out chasing women somewhere. And so Adam was awakened one day with Adam punching around his ribs and he said, what are you doing? And she said, looking for another lost rib. So out of his rib, the Lord God had taken from the man into a woman and brought her into the man. And then verse 23, then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife. I love that. Hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, three words in that verse, verse 24, describe marriage God's way. Three words, leave, cleave, and become. And we'll talk about those in just a moment. Leave, cleave, and become one flesh. And the man, verse 25, and his woman were both naked and were not ashamed. That is, they lived in perfect intimacy before God and before one another. So when you talk about marriage, you don't start with sociology or psychology. You start with theology, which is the study of God. And when you know God and what God says, you want to know how God instructs us and informs us as to how we're to live our lives and live our lives together in families. The psalmist said he puts the solitary in families. Everyone needs a family. Everyone needs a home. I like to say that you need a heavenly home. You need to know that you're going to heaven when you die or when Christ comes. You need a family home, people who love you. And you need a church home. You need a spiritual home. And so God puts us together in life. Jesus affirmed all of this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said to them, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." What is Jesus doing? He is giving us once again the biblical worldview. This is his word, God's word. "They shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together," Christ adds, Christ commands, "let not man separate." Why? Because marriage is not primarily a human institution, it is a divine institution. Before there was any other kind of institution in the world, before there was a university, before there was a government, before there was any organization, a business, before there was any other thing, a church, before there was a church, there was a family, and it started with one who became one with another. Adam and Eve, they are our family. We're all a part of the first family. And there's so many other things in life that are important, and we all understand that. But there is nothing more important, if you are married, than the relationship that you have with God and with the man or the woman in your life, your spouse. Amen. How should we describe this? What is marriage God's way? Well, number one, it is marriage is a divine covenant, a covenant. That's an important word. Much more than a human contract or a legal contract. And I believe in legal marriage. I do. But before God, this is a covenant. And the word covenant means to cut, especially in a relationship. In the Old Testament, when David became a brother to Jonathan, the son of Saul, they became fast friends and they cut a covenant. They were like blood brothers. And they literally cut their wrist and joined their lives together in a friendship to death. So beyond a contractual agreement, which can be broken by either party, marriage is a covenant of commitment to one another before God. It is a solemn pledge and promise to live exclusively and love exclusively one another for the rest of your life. And if you aren't willing to make that kind of commitment, you need not apply. A covenant is a sacred promise to God that you don't break, like you're breaking up in junior high by taking your ring back or you're giving your letter jacket back. It's not something that we can break. Jesus said, "What God has joined together, don't let men separate it." And this relationship can be rich and fulfilling. It is a legal relationship. It is a physical relationship. It is a soulish or psychological, emotional relationship, but above all, it is a spiritual relationship that in Christ we become one. So this is where we start. We start with the truth of the Bible, The Word of God directs us, and we commit, therefore, to His plan for our lives because He knows what is best. And may we never compromise on our commitment to God. Your submission and mine to God's will must be total and wholehearted, no matter what. Monogamous marriage between a man and a woman is a mandate from Almighty God. Amen. God's word is to be obeyed always. That's why those of us who know and trust Him want to be all in our marriage and always there. The Bible described marriage in Ephesians chapter 5 as in the Lord. Marriage in the Lord. And you glorify God. You glorify the Lord in your life when you keep your promises to your mate and to your family. So here's the big priority that we've been talking about, and that is to leave and to cleave and to become one flesh. Three verbs. Leave, cleave, and become one. Leave. That's the idea of priority. That you leave your family behind. Your mother, your father. Now, the Bible tells us that we're to always honor our mothers and our fathers. That's a commandment in the Big Ten list. And children are to obey their parents and honor their parents as children and throughout life. But when we get married, we leave behind mom and dad, and we create a new union separate and unto itself. And whatever else you may do in life, your work, your career, raising your children, taking care of your health, all those things do not compare to this first commitment that we have to God and to one another as husbands and wives. It is supreme in all human relationships. So you don't just go hang out with your buddies anymore. You don't just separate and run home to mama every chance you get. But you are committed to each other as a man and a woman before God. It's God's first and Jesus in your heart and in your home. So leave, that's priority, and cleave, that's permanence. Not only is this marriage a priority, of course, but it is permanent in its design, in its divine design. And in that is the word cleave. It's a word that literally means to stick together like glue. Kind of like Elvis used to say, I'm stuck on you. And there is a cleaving. There is a leaving behind of your childhood and your past. You've now grown to make an adult commitment. You're now adulting in your marriage. And you're committing to one another. And then there is this permanence that we're cleaving to one another. We are connected, vitally connected in Christ. You see, this is so much more than the way the world looks at marriage, isn't it? Amen. Or maybe even the way that you've looked at marriage. I'm elevating what marriage is, God's way. And we all need to see it. The Bible says that we husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus never walked up to you and said, you know what? I just don't love you anymore. I'm tired of you. I'm leaving. You will never hear Jesus say, I'm leaving you. So how are we to love our wives? How are we to love our husbands as Christ loves you? He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The great need that we all have is security in life. And wives and husbands need the security of knowing that you're there to stay, that you're cleaving. This week, I was going through some old photographs and albums, and I was trying to pull some of the photographs off the pages that were glued onto the album. And if you've ever tried that, you know what happens. You tear up the album and you tear up the photograph. Because if something is glued together, it is next to impossible to tear it apart and keep it intact. And that's what marriage is. If you try to tear it apart, if you try to rip it apart, it destroys both the husband and the wife in that union. So be like Zig Ziglar, who used to say of the redhead, his wife, if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. This means that we're going to accept one another, our failures, our faults, our foibles, the frustrations that happen on a daily basis, that we learn to accept one another, our own imperfections. Too many quit too soon. When if you would just work through and grow through the problems that you're facing, you could restore your home and your family. You say, well, it's next to impossible. With God, all things are possible. Yes, you may need a miracle from God, but you can get a miracle. Because God's design is for you to love your wife and love your husband a lifetime. And what I see, and I thought I would just share a few of these with you, what I've seen over all of these years of being a pastor as what breaks up homes and families, here they are. And I'm going to cover these more completely as we go. But I have six, seven of them, quickly. What destroys this relationship? What rips apart a marriage and a relationship? One is selfishness. That's where it really starts. When Christ is on the throne of my heart and I'm off in a position of yielding, and when Deb is off in a position of yielding to Christ, then Jesus is Lord of our home, our family, our lives, and it works. But if either one of us try to knock Jesus off and sit on the throne, that's what happens in so many marriages. It's just selfishness. King George and Queen Mary vying for the throne. Who's going to be in charge here? Who's going to be in control here? Rather than letting Christ be in control. And it's just selfishness, not just in big things, but in little things. We'll talk about that. Secondly, this is what I see. And I've had a lot of experience in seeing this, unfortunately. Substance abuse. Substance. Whether it is pornography or gambling or drugs, alcohol, this wrecks a family like hardly anything else. Third, sexual sin. Obviously adulterates a family. Sex is a gift from God and is to be protected at all costs within the covenant and commitment of holy marriage. Purity of heart and mind and body is the commandment of God for all Christians. But sexual sin has ruined many a life and many a marriage. Fourthly is spending. Spending, the way we spend our money. Debt in particular, due to overspending. And money problems create all kinds of marriage problems. The Bible says contentment with godliness is great gain. Godly contentment is great gain. The goal of your home and mine in Christ is contentment, peace. And all the things in the world won't fill your need for contentment. And have you learned the lesson? This is the 10th commandment, by the way, do not covet. But have you learned the lesson that it's not having what you want in life, but it is wanting what you have that creates contentment in your mind and in your marriage. And then I would say speech. That's another marriage killer. Speech, words. Our words matter. And our words are to be always loving and kind and expressive. They're not always, and I'll be the first among us to raise my hand to say, my words are not always godly and wholesome and kind. This is something we have to work on our entire lives. And I'm just talking about now between Deb and me. You say, do you and Deb have arguments? No, we really don't have arguments. We do have discussions that can be heard, I don't know, several blocks away at times. Not that loud, but let our speech be filled with love. But here's what breaks a marriage down. Here's what breaks your mate down. Abusive words, hateful words, angry words, profane words, hurtful words, carnal words. And if you are profaning your wife, if you are cursing your husband, not only do your children hear that, and what kind of representative of Christ is that, but not only do your children hear it and it breaks them down, wait, why would anyone curse in front of their children? But if you are cursing your wife or your husband, you are bullying them, you are abusing them. You don't have to hit someone to abuse them. And I've seen so many marriages destroyed. And sometimes it's not even the words, it's the silence. You know what I'm talking about. It's the having a pity party and shutting the other person out. It's the lack of communication. It's the lack of words, honest, clear words. But speech, the way we talk to one another. Ask God to control your tongue. You say, well, it's home. I can say what I want. No, especially not at home. And then finally, Satan. If I were the devil, I'm glad I'm not, but if I were the devil, the first place I would attack would be the home, the family. And that's what he does. And how does he attack? With lies. Lies that he tells you, lies that you tell yourself about your relationship. And don't believe the lies of Satan. Believe what God has said. And don't be a deal breaker. Be a promise maker and a promise keeper. Life was beautiful in the garden. Man and wife together, walking with God. But sin entered the garden and took out everything that was holy and wholesome, including Adam and Eve and ultimately a son in their home. So why would we try to go any way but God's way in life? How would we ever attempt something as wonderfully difficult as a marriage relationship without the power and the presence of God in our lives? Dear, dear church, dear, dear people, we're just getting started. Today was foundational and foremost in everything that you need to hear. Again, with all the information and communication that's going on as to how to do this thing called family, first and foremost is to go God's way. And commit yourself to what he has said, and not what Satan says, not what anybody else says, but to trust in the Lord your God. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together. Heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed. This is our time of decision that I talked about earlier. And online, those of you watching and worshiping with us online, welcome to this invitation. Be invited as I'm inviting these in this room to find and follow Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Talking about chosen. My goodness. I think the greatest thought that we could contemplate is that we are loved by God. You are chosen. by God. Chosen by God. So you're not here by chance or accident. You were selected because God loves you before you loved him. And he wants you to love him back. And the way you love him back is to give your life to him by putting your faith in Christ who died on the cross for our sins. We're all broken. We're all sinners. None of us can make it in life, marriage, anything else apart from the forgiveness of God. One thing that we so need in marriage today is forgiveness. But you have to be forgiven in order to forgive, really forgive. And forgiven people are forgiving people. So if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to know Christ in your heart, if you want to know that when you die, you're going to heaven, that you have a heavenly home waiting for you, then pray this prayer right now from your heart. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord. I turn from my sin. I trust in you. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my master and friend. And if you will invite Christ into your life, then pray that he will give you courage now to openly follow him as he's called every one of us to openly follow him and publicly profess him. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So believe and receive Christ today and make it public by coming forward in just a moment when we sing together this hymn of decision. Others, you need a church home. You need to get yourself, maybe you're a single adult. You're not married. You need a church family. You need a church home. You need friends in the family of God. Come and be a part of this. Quit hanging out with the wrong kind of people and start hanging with the right kind of people. God's people who love the Lord and will build you up rather than tear you down. And then married couples and families, put your family, put your trust in Christ together. Come as a couple, come as a family today and join this church as an accountable, faithful member of this great congregation. Lord, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. We're singing, we're waiting. The pastors are here. And